Please take your hymnal tonight and turn to number 92. We welcome you all to our Christmas praise service, and we trust that the Lord will bless as we worship Him in song and hear from the Scripture. We're going to start with this most famous hymn, perhaps of all the Christmas carols, "Joy to the World, the Lord is Come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room, and heaven and nature sing." Number 92, we'll stand pleased to sing. Seated. We'll bow now, please, in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank Thee tonight for the return, and the Lord's Day and the privilege of coming to Thy house, the Lord's Day evening service. And Father, we have set aside this meeting and the calendar to be a praise service. We might lift our voices in special song and praise to the One who has not only called us, but the One who has redeemed us from all our sin, set us upon the rock of Christ Jesus, our great Redeemer, forgiven all our sin and put us into a position that we do not deserve, Lord, a position we could never pay for, we could never attain to by our own righteousness, but we have been given by the great grace of God. And so we have a standing tonight of no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Loving Father, we pray that the Spirit of the Lord will help us tonight in our praise. We would sing from redeemed hearts. We would not be, O God, held back from our praise because of unconfessed sin, because of compromise, because of something that would be lingering in our hearts. Lord, help us, we pray, to keep short accounts with God. And as the Apostle Paul prayed, to have a conscience void of offense toward God and men. Lord, pour out Thy grace, a double portion of the Spirit of the Lord upon each one. We will know what it is to live and to walk in the center of Thy will, and to be filled with the Spirit of God, to witness and shine as lights in a very dark world. Heavenly Father, help us, we pray. If we're left to ourselves, Lord, for even a moment, what will we do? We would soon consume away. O God, we must be sustained by Thy continual grace and the blessing of God on our lives. So be with us now tonight, we pray. Remember those who are not able to be with us in the Lord's house. We pray for our sister Colleen tonight in hospital. Bless her, Lord, where she is. Help her. Remember those who are aged. They have difficulty. They cannot be out of the house of the Lord. Support and strengthen them where they are. And our loving Father, we pray for the many who are watching the service over the internet, maybe from a local place or else from afar off. Bless them also. And we pray that we'll know only in eternity the number of souls that have come to know the Savior as a result of this outreach ministry. Hear us now in our prayers. Draw near and help us. Every part of our meeting, we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. A warm word of welcome to all of you to our evening service tonight. We're thankful for your attendance. You're an encouragement to us. And we trust that we might be an encouragement and a blessing to you, that the Lord will meet you at the very point of your need. We certainly have to welcome some visitors in our congregation tonight. Maybe you've come for the very first time, or you've returned again. You're very welcome, and we pray that God would bless you. Those viewing our service over the internet, you are very welcome, whether it's from those who are local or those from afar off. We think of our congregation in Fredericton, our brothers and sisters there. We want to remember them in our prayers and to support you in every practical way that we can. Friends, we want to just leave the announcements with you now at this stage of our service. And if you turn to your bulletin, just to remind you of a couple of things. This incoming week, we will have our Bible study and prayer meeting, and it will be held at 7:25 on Wednesday. And we do trust that you'll come out to the Lord's house and pray with us and for us, that the Lord would meet our every need, certainly in the congregation here. The prayer meeting, usually when we start off the new year, which we will be this time again, we'll be having a week of prayer. It's planned for the last week of January. And that week of prayer is a time to be encouraged and to start off the year right. But let me challenge you to end off the year right by coming to the Lord's house Wednesday evening and praying that we might know His hand on our ministry and life. Next Lord's Day, I will be bringing the Word, God willing, in the morning, Dr. McClelland in the evening. And there will be no Bible class or Sunday school next Lord's Day or the one following, giving our workers a little rest over the Christmas time. I want to say a word regarding our watch night service. This is held on December the 31st, and it's a time of fellowship in the Lord's house. We have a dinner in the basement, and then also we have a meeting, and the meeting will bring in the new year. And if you've never come to one of these before, I encourage you to write your name on the list that's out the back, and be sure to come along. It's a time of great rejoicing, a nice fellowship in the Lord's house and with His people. And it's an informal time where we just get together to praise and thank Him for His goodness. So please write your name and how many folks will be coming with your family so we can make the appropriate food preparations for that night. Those are all the announcements we have at this time. We're going to take up the offering now for the Lord's work. And while we do that, we'll sing, please, hymn number 97. Hymn number 97, remaining seated as the offering is received, and at the conclusion of the offering, we'll be calling on the chorale to come up, and as we make preparations for the praise service tonight. Thank you.
Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. In those days, that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed, and all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
Thank you.
there in the same country, the shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, that ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, a good will toward men.
Thank you.
It is good to take time and set time aside for the sole purpose of thanking God for His goodness and to praise Him for His long suffering, His mercy and His love. And tonight the choir has just finished its presentation with this anthem called the Song of Bethlehem. In that song it mentions not just one place, Bethlehem, but it speaks also of Galilee and of Calvary. And tonight I want to take a few minutes just to look at these three places as they are revealed in the Word of God. The first one, of course, is Bethlehem, the place of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the words of the anthem say, "O hear the song of Bethlehem, of shepherds watching there, and hear the news that came to them from angels in the air. Then angels sang of Bethlehem, of Jesus and His birth, a song of joy and praise to God, of peace upon the earth." Bethlehem, of course, is the place prophesied, because in Micah chapter 2, we have the clear words written hundreds of years before the birth of the Lord, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." Bethlehem, of course, means the house of bread. And how appropriate that the one who is the bread of life will be born in a little town like Bethlehem. Bethlehem also was the place revered by the children of Israel, because although at that time it was only a small little town in Judea, it held the very precious memories for the children of Israel. It was the birthplace of a king. We sing at this time of year, "Once in Royal David's City." And we sing that because Bethlehem is the place where Israel's most notable king first saw the light of day. But Bethlehem is also the birthplace of a son. And you go back in the Bible to the book of Genesis, and you find there a story, a sad story. It is Jacob traveling to Bethlehem with his beloved wife Rachel, and she is with child. And in Bethlehem she brings forth the final son of Jacob. But she dies in the bringing forth of that son, and she dies in the childbirth. And so it was a time of great trauma for Jacob and for his encampment. Now, before dying, Rachel, she said that she wanted the boy to be called Benoni, which means son of my sorrow. But Jacob stepped in and he intervened and he said, no, he's going to be called Benjamin, the son of my right hand. And how suggestive that is, because when you consider Mary, and we saw this morning how that Mary and Joseph with the Lord, they met Anna. And at that time they also met Simeon. And Simeon said to Mary, "A sword also shall pierce thy soul." And so Mary, who had such joy at the birth of the Lord Jesus, would eventually come, and Jesus to her would be the son of her sorrow. But the Father in heaven intervened and said, "His name shall not be called that. His name shall be called Jesus, because he is the son of my right hand." And that's what Benjamin means, the son of my right hand. And thank God today the Lord Jesus Christ is in the right hand of the Majesty on high. And Jesus came down to Bethlehem to seek and to save that which was lost. And he came to seek you and to seek me, and to save us by his sacrifice on the cross. And so Bethlehem's a very precious place. The second place mentioned in the anthem is Galilee. And the words of the anthem say, "Oh, hear the song of Galilee, where Jesus lived and grew. Then healed the sick and raised the dead to give them life anew. Where at his word the wind and seas obeyed the master's will, when Jesus calmed the angry waves and whispered, peace be still." Galilee, I would see as not the place of birth, but the place of the beginning. Galilee was the most northerly province of the three that made up Israel. Galilee was the north, Samaria in the middle, and Judea in the south. And the town of Nazareth was in the southern part, southwestern part of the area of Galilee. And Nazareth in Galilee was the beginning of the private life of the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember how in the case of Elijah, he was told to go and hide himself by the brook. And so for 3 years, he was quietly there. But then the Lord came along and he said to Elijah, now go and show thyself. And so his public ministry began. And likewise of the Lord Jesus, he moved after he was born on a short sojourn in Egypt. The family moved to Nazareth, and there he lived. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us anything virtually about the early years of the Lord Jesus Christ. In our day, when the child is born and comes into the home, well, doting fathers and mothers, they take photographs, they take videos, and almost every movement that the child makes is recorded for posterity as they enjoy every move of the precious child. But apart from the incident in the temple when the Lord Jesus Christ was 12, nothing is known about his early life and what he did and so on. But what was happening there was in fulfillment of Hebrews, because it tells us there in Hebrews regarding the Lord Jesus, we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And so during that time, the Lord grew as a boy to his teenage years, grew to become a young man, and in those various areas, he was facing the temptations of life that you and I would face. And he also, in that time, he lived a lifetime. I remember when I worked for Boeing's, when they were doing the 747, one of the things they did was to take a large fuselage, a complete fuselage, the body of the plane, and put it into a great big specially made tank of water where they had all kinds of pumps that would pump the water. And the reason they did that was that they were able to assimilate 20 years' service in 1 year in the water tank. And my friend Jesus was in Nazareth for a shorter period, not a full lifespan of the biblical 70 years, but during that time, he was living a full life, and he faced the temptations, but the Bible tells us that it was yet without sin. And so we rejoice that our Savior is one who understands us, and he lived a lifetime for us, that he might redeem us from our sins and iniquities. But Galilee was also the place of the public life of the Lord Jesus, because the day came when he was about 30 years of age, he moved from Nazareth, traveled southeast some 60 miles down to the River Jordan. And there John the Baptist was waiting, and John the Baptist saw him and delivered one of the greatest messages ever spoken by mortal tongue. And that's the message that we have on our pulpit wall that we have had from almost day one of this congregation. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Now after that, the Lord Jesus had a meeting, not with John the Baptist, but with Satan and with the devil. And met him head on in temptation. And there the Lord overcame the devil by using the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And so, thank God, while the first Adam met the devil and failed, the last Adam met him and triumphed victoriously over the devil. And thank God today that the lion of the tribe of Judah is greater than the roaring lion that comes to give us such a hard time. And so Galilee is a special place. But then the third place mentioned in the anthem is Calvary. Oh, sing the song of Calvary, the Lamb, the cross, the grave, and sing of how the risen Lamb is mighty now to save. Calvary, the name Calvary, only appears once in the Bible, in Luke chapter 23 and verse 33, where it says, "And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him." That's the only place where you find the well-known name Calvary. But Calvary is not a place name. For example, Toronto is a place name. Malvern here is a place name. Scarborough is a place name. But Calvary is not a place name. It is the Latin word for skull. It's not even Greek. It's the Latin word for skull. It's as if you were to say regarding our site here, the site where our complex is, it is the place of the school or the place of the church. We have our own name for this place, but you could say the place of the school or the place of the church. And likewise, Calvary is not a place name. It is a word that means the place of the skull. Now, in the Bible, Mount Moriah figures prominently, especially in the life of Abraham. Remember how that the Lord gave miraculously Isaac to Abraham and Sarah. And Isaac was a young man growing up, probably in his later teen years, when God gave him the greatest and most difficult of commandments to obey. And he says, "Take now thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest, Isaac, and offer him the place that I will tell you of," and it was Moriah. And so Abraham set forth, and you know the story well, how that he set up the altar, and he tied his son Isaac and bound him on the altar. Isaac, of course, was voluntary in allowing himself to be tied, because he was of such a size and age at that time, and strong enough to overcome his aged father. Voluntarily, he allowed himself to be tied to that sacrifice. And then Abraham lifted the knife towards heaven and was about to plunge it into the breast of his beloved, dearly beloved son, when God cried, "Abraham!" And Abraham stopped. And then he saw a ram caught by its horns in the thicket. And that ram was sacrificed in the place of Isaac. And my friend, as you look at Mount Moriah, you see a wonderful photograph thousands of years before the Lord Jesus Christ would die on Calvary's tree. And I believe, and I think I'm right in saying this, I believe that the Lord Jesus was crucified right on the very spot where Abraham lifted that knife to slay his dearly beloved son. Now, Mount Moriah, the temple of Israel today, or what's left of the temple area, that it is just a little way south of the place known as Gordon's Calvary. When you look at it, and we've been there, you can see that in Solomon's day, he ran a road through the mountain. And so there's a division between that part of Mount Moriah and this part here. And this part here is known now as Gordon's Calvary, the place of the skull, a small hill, and you can see there on the cliff face the unmistakable signs of the eye sockets of a skull and the nose and the mouth. We have seen it with our eyes, and you marvel when you see that and you realize that that, I believe, is the place where the Lord Jesus Christ died. And it was at that place where mankind committed its greatest ever sin, with its sin against the Son of God, and nailed him to a cruel cross that you and I today might be saved by his grace. And so he was cruelly murdered by the mob at that time, and he laid down his life, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us unto God. Now we have this text behind us, "Behold the Lamb." And you can go to Bethlehem, and you can behold the Lamb there as he was born as a babe, just a little lamb. And then, as he fled from Herod's murderous intent, you can say again, "Behold the Lamb." And then as he returns to Nazareth and lives his life there, you can still say, "Behold the Lamb." You can go with him down to the time he met John the Baptist and hear John echoing those great words of identification, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." We can follow him as he traveled the country, preaching his gospel, healing the sick, and raising the dead. And we can still say, "Behold, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." But my friend, especially when he does say, "Behold the Lamb," when you come to the cross, one of the most haunting and beautiful melodies of Handel's Messiah is that one, "Behold, behold the Lamb of God." You listen to it, and it's not in the sort of meter and with the sort of joy that you would expect at the River Jordan where John said, "Behold the Lamb of God." I believe Handel got it right, because his very music takes you not from a place of joy, but to a place of sorrow. And there, our blessed Lord, on the cross, he died that you and I might know the blessing of everlasting life. He was taken up the brow to that hill, and there he carried his cross. And there they put the cross on the ground and stretched the Lord Jesus upon it, and took the cruel nails, Roman nails, and the hammer, and they hammered them into his hands and into his feet, his head already pierced by the crown of thorns. And then they put the cross up to stand in its socket, and the Lord Jesus hung between heaven and earth, there to die as a sacrifice for sins. We're not saved by the perfect example of the Lord Jesus. We're saved by the sacrifice that he made on the cross. And so the Lord in heaven is telling us, "Behold, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And John tells us, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And thank God that simple gospel message proclaimed so many years ago is still efficacious to save the soul that calls upon the Lord. It is our prayer that you might understand, along with Isaiah, where it tells us, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see all his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand." You cannot divorce Calvary from Galilee and from Bethlehem, because they all are part of the great song and plan and purpose of redemption. Calvary is the hinge upon which the door of man's redemption turns. And we pray that this Christmas season, that if you know not the Lord, that you'll find room in your heart for him. You'll open your heart and allow him to come in. Some of us went down on Friday night to see the Dead Sea Scroll exhibition in the Royal Ontario Museum. Some very interesting artifacts. We saw fragments of the Dead Sea Scrolls and so on. But the one thing that struck me, a long wall and a timeline on the history of the Jewish people written right along that from the days of Abraham right through to about 1000 A.D. I went along that wall. I saw the birth and the death of that wicked man, Herod the Great. Then the thing jumps over to the year A.D. 66, when the Jewish war started by Titus, that led to the destruction of the temple and so on. But in that space, between Herod and the Jewish war, the most important person who ever lived was born. The Lord Jesus Christ, he was a Jew, but not one mention down there of the fact that Jesus, who is the hinge upon which the door of man's redemption turns, not one mention that he was born. You see, even today, there's no room in the inn for our blessed Lord and our Savior. So, my friend, tonight, if you know not the Lord, it's my prayer and the prayer of our people here that you would come to accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior. And this would be the happiest Christmas time you've ever had, because you came to know him who is eternal life and the bread of heaven that feeds our everlasting souls. Let's bow together in prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, we come before thee tonight and we thank thee for the cross work of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he who was born miraculously as a babe in Bethlehem, lived a life and preached a gospel and traveled the length and breadth of Israel. And Father, we thank thee for the Lamb of God who looked upon us and who died that we might be saved. We who are not worthy of the least of the mercies of God. And yet, Lord, thou hast given to us the very greatest, the gift of thy Son, the Lord Jesus, to be a prince and to be a Savior. Our Father, bless every person here. Those who know thee, we pray that thou would give them joy as they contemplate what God the Lord has done. And Father, for those who know not the Lord, we pray that even this night they would call upon his name and be saved. Hear this, our prayer. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Came the wise men from Orient afar.
Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for blessing us this night with a real sense of Thy presence. We thank the Lord for these hymns that have been sung by the choir and by the chorale and by the congregation. And Father, we pray that Thou would draw out our hearts continually to magnify Thy name and help us, Lord, to understand more and more what it cost Thee, the Holy One, to bear away our sins. And Father, we thank Thee especially for that holy night when the Lord Jesus came down from the splendor and glory of heaven to be born as a babe in Bethlehem. And Lord, we thank Thee for that time that He died on the cross, that we through His death might have life. We ask the Lord now to take us home this evening, to give us traveling mercies. Lord, keep us in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And Father, we pray especially for any who know not the Lord, that they'll not go home tonight until they have settled the great matter of their sin before God. And Father, we pray that Thou would save them by Thy grace. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forevermore. Amen.